Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Isaiah 35, as we continue in a series, out with the old, in with the new. This actually is the final message in the series. Looking forward to some series to come, a deep dive on the book of John. Going to do a deep dive on the book of John, looking forward to that. Are you all there? Isaiah 35, verse 1, New International Version. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Verse 3, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. I want you to turn to the person on the right or left and say, be strong, don't fear. And say to somebody else, say, your God will come. Goes on to read, and he will come with vengeance and with divine retribution, or recompense, says the New King James. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. The haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will there be any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed. Would you say that? But only the redeemed will walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. Father, thank you for this time we have together here in this first service and the moments that remain. I pray for your unction, your anointing, your empowerment to be able to preach and communicate and teach to your beautiful blood-washed people. That each and every one of us would have fresh understanding and even a revelation of who you are and the hour in which we live and what lies ahead and the tremendous opportunity we have here at Kings and in the body of Christ. Move in great power. If you have the freedom to pray with your spirit, go ahead and do it. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I've entitled this "The New Community." New Community. Isaiah is definitely one of my favorite books. I mean, I just love the whole thing. Bible means book. I love the whole thing. It's still the number one bestseller. When it first came out on Gutenberg's printing press, it was the number one bestseller and the first book ever. And it's still the number one bestseller, as I've told you times before. If you look at this text, chapter 34 of Isaiah, a desert's described. And it's really a picture of God's judgment. But in chapter 35, everything's changed. Everything changes from a desert to the glory of the Lord and a breaking forth of his provision and glory and power and splendor. Verses 1 and 2, you see the desert blooms. God's glory is seen. This promise is fulfilled in a number of different ways. The promise was true to the immediate in the immediate term when it was written. Judah was restored after the invasion of the Assyrians. Was turned back, but the promise is true in a longer term, and that it's fulfilled. The ultimate fulfillment of the prophecy is when God restores the ecology of the world. In the end time tribulation and the battle of Armageddon, Isaiah 11, and of course tying into the book of Revelation, as well as Romans 8. Nature awaits this transformation that'll come when God's glory is seen. New heaven and a new earth. Can somebody say that'll be great? Verse 3 and 4. It's quoted, verses 3 and 4 in our text, is quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. Strengthen the feeble hands, the steady knees. The steady the knees that give way. Verse 4, say to those who are fearful. Everybody say, say. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to receive encouragement from God, but we're also called to encourage each other. Come on, say to the person next to you, I had you do it already, but tell them you're going to make it. Come on, God's going to rescue you. Tell somebody else. He's going to rescue you. Say to those who are fearful heart, be strong. And you see in verse 5 and 7, this saying, this receiving of strength that comes from God and the encouragement that comes from brothers and sisters in this new community, if I can say it that way. So you see this desert, and then you see this incredible transformation that comes by the glory of God. And people begin to talk one to another, but not only that, they begin to hear from God that he's going to bring recompense, that he's going to bring restoration, that he's going to bring healing, that he's going to bring deliverance, that he's going to make a way. And when we declare that, when we say that, miracles begin to break out. That is the context of it. And it is covenant language once again. Say to those who are fearful of hearts, be strong. It does remind me of Joshua. Be strong and courageous. I think it's three different times God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then he tells him again, Josh, be strong and courageous. And he tells him a third time, be strong and courageous. You get the idea that Joshua was terrified. Some of you might have fear what's going to happen with the economy. There's all kinds of doomsdayers out there. You say, Pastor, have you paid attention to the news? I see the news, but I have a different word. Come on, CNN, Fox News, that's not the word of the Lord. I have the word of the Lord for me, for us, for 2024. And you're going to hear that expressly from Dr. Morocco. And don't miss that next week. It's a State of the Church address with many churches across our 663 different extensions, soon to be 1,200. That's our goal by 2025. We have to double. That's what we're believing for, praying for it. Many of those are hearing that word today. But expressly, the Lord said, you preach and then go to Israel. And so we're doing that. And as I got this word from the Lord and then began to hear the word of the Lord for our whole church, began to see that Dr. Morocco had Isaiah 35 in his text too. And I thought, Mom, I'm hearing from God. Come on, God's able to do miracles. And that's what the text says here. If we're encouragers, then miracles begin to happen. This text is also referenced by the Lord in Matthew chapter 11. John's disciples, John the Baptist's disciples, come or sent to Jesus by John, who says, ask him if he's the one. Go ask him if he's the one. Now, some scholars say that he did that because he was backslidden. He had gotten discouraged in prison, and he just wanted to make sure that he had had it right, that one that he baptized. I don't believe that's the case. I believe what's happened is John very possibly knows he's going to lose his head by Herod's wife encourages her daughter to elicit lust and receive up to half of the kingdom. And she says, give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. John knew, I believe, that he was going to be killed, martyred. And I think he was turning over his disciples to Jesus. I must decrease, he must increase. I don't think he's backslidden. I think he's affirming to his disciples that this is the Messiah. And they go to Jesus and he said, John wants to know if you're the one. And Jesus quotes the text that we read in Matthew 11. He quotes the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. He quotes Isaiah 35. In other words, yeah, you tell him, I'm him. Come on, somebody say he's him. He's the Messiah. That's right. So we're called to encourage. We're called to encourage one, say to them, be strong. And when that encouragement happens, according to this text here in Isaiah 35, miracles will happen. And we're called to live holy, live out our lives in holiness. We're called to live holy and out of our holiness, this highway of holiness, walking on a highway of holiness, and out of that comes security. And I want to say true security. I enjoy guns. I like them. I'm becoming more of a gun enthusiast as the longer I live in Alaska. I like weapons. But you know something? It's the Lord that protects us. I mean, you can have a weapon, but it's the Lord that really brings true security. And when you walk on a highway of holiness, we'll talk about that. When you walk with God, he brings real security. No lion will be there. Reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8. The enemy prowls around like a roaring lion. He's also toothless for those on the highway. For those in the way. Can I say it that way? Can I say that way? The way? That's what they used to call the first century church. They're those of the way. Because he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. The ransomed of the Lord. The word ransom is a powerful word. Goel in the Hebrew. It relates to kinsman redeemer. And that reminds me as well as Revelation chapter 21. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. There'll be no more pain, and the former things have passed away. It reminds me of those things. You're walking on the highway of holiness. God gives it to you now, but then ultimately in its fulfillment, we'll have no worries, no fears. I mean, we're supposed to live without worry now, but I mean the fullness of our salvation will come. Can you say that's right? All right, God's speaking to us very plainly this morning. I have three words from the Lord. The first one from it in application here. Things can change for the good. Things can change for the good. I don't know if you see it throughout Scripture, but I do. And then I'm not only seeing Scripture, I am a recipient of the fact that God has changed things in my life so profoundly over these many years of serving him. And then I see how reports come that are negative, or people receive a bad report or read something in the news. Everything is subject to change. Say it. Everything is subject to change. Your situation can change. Your money can change. Your health can change. That man who I laid hands on at that church in Missouri with a cane and his wife, they made him come up. She was nervous. They'd never received prayer like that, I don't think. He came up. She's holding his arms. She didn't know what I was going to do. I just laid hands on him and prayed. The rest, I just delivered the mail. If I can quote Pastor Tim, Pastor Timothy said years ago, all it is when we pray for the sick is providing opportunity for people to heal, for God to heal. I'm just delivering the mail. By his stripes, you're healed. I just said that, laid hands on him, bam, power of God touched him. His eyes flew open and he freaked out his whole family. Can I tell you something? When somebody gets their eyesight and they have been blind, you can't make that look seeker sensitive. You can't make that look cute. That ain't cute. I mean, they're like looking around, oh my God, oh my God. Ah! I mean, like total freak out. People screaming. Wife was like, I think they were Baptist. I mean, God bless the Baptist. Because when that happened, she just went, ah, and fell over. There was no usher or nothing. Come on, things can change. Say it. things can. So you might feel like you're in a desert right now. You might feel like you've got all kinds of opposition and trials and challenges. It can change. Your circumstance can change. You could leave this place having received the word of the Lord, walk out, get a phone call, and everything be different. Come on, somebody say things can change. You may be in a desert right now. I hear the sound of rain. You might be in a low debar place right now. You might be in the desert right now, but what is that sound? What is that, a spring that's bubbling up? Oh my, look, a pool. Let's go swimming. It can change. Isaiah 10 and 27 is a scripture that saved our church. What do you mean by that? Years ago, building a facility about the same size as this in Maui, they had three lawsuits. Without going into the whole story, they had three lawsuits against them. The steel company had gone bankrupt that we purchased the steel from, and we had to go get our steel. By a word of the Lord, Dr. Morocco realizes the steel, God tells him, steel company's gone bankrupt. You better send Pastor Allen to go get your steel. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. And they had paid. He got on a plane, went over there, flew there, got there. Sure enough, they had gone bankrupt and we weren't going to get our steel for the building. They had that problem. They got the steel. You can go there today. It's there. They had an injury in the school, in the football team, and there was a lawsuit. And there was some other lawsuit. There was a number of things that were taking place that could have ruined our church. And I was in my 20s then. And I'll never forget showing up to morning prayer. And he says to all the people at morning prayer, just like the one that we have, he says, you all come to morning prayer. I figured you should hear the news first since you're the people that pray. We need a word from the Lord, and God gave you one. Isaiah 10, 27. It'll come to pass in that day. I'm going to read it to you. It'll come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And we prayed that at morning prayer every morning. Break the yoke. He preached a message called Break the Yoke, and I'm not talking about eggs. I'm talking about a yoke that can come from the enemy to stop you, hinder you, cause you to stay in the desert. And we prayed, break the yoke, break the yoke. We reached our hands out, break the yoke. Do you know what happened? Every one of the lawsuits were resolved. Everything that we needed to have happen happened, and the church moved forward. God can change things. God is going to cause a great release of his blessings in 2024. I want you to say that. God is going to cause a great release of his blessings in 2024. Say it again. God is going to cause a great release of his blessings in 2024. Do you believe it? Shout amen.
Amen.
You've got a purpose in your heart. It's called faith. It's called faith. Shake off the heaviness. Shake off the, get strengthen those feeble. You're going to make it. He's going to rescue you. He's going to come through for you. Push away the doubt. Push away the unbelief. Stand on the word of the Lord. God is going to cause great blessings released upon us in 2024. This is going to, I'm preaching myself happy now. Now I've preached myself happy. I'm now happy. I was happy before. My wife flirting with me, how awesome. But now I feel the glory and the power and the authority of heaven. I know from God's word, not because I feel it, not because my hair's standing on end. I know from God's word that he's going to release his blessing upon my life, upon my wife, upon my children, upon my family, upon this church. Can you say yes?
Yes.
Convince yourself of it and don't let anything else come out of your pie hole but that. What's a pie hole? That's a mouth. Don't speak anything but blessings. Stop cursing yourself. Oh, what are we going to do now? What do you mean, what are you going to do now? Stand up, decree it, declare it, proclaim it. What's that sound? It's rain. What's that? It's the sound of abundance. What's that? That's a stream. Looks like dust to me, not for long. The power of the kingdom of God will be released through us. You see this in verse 2. The word glory is used, and it's expressly understood by the Apostle Paul in New Testament understanding, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate or behold the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord. He's saying when the Holy Spirit's poured out, you get changed. Contemplate, that word contemplate, another word, another way of saying is behold. When you see something of God, when you behold the glory of God, it changes you. You can behold his glory in many different ways. Again, when I was traveling at one church, prayed for 900 people in a row. That takes a little while. And it wasn't a brooding prayer. It was just get some oil and just psh, 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 psh. But it still takes a while. Come on, someone say psh. One after another, after another, after another. We were halfway through. They said it was 900 people. It's not my number. It was theirs. We would line them up. We'd pray for people. Those folks would be moved. And then another line would come. And I would go around and pray for the next row. But in fact, my left leg got sore from going up the stairs with my left, pushing off with my left leg the whole time. Got to a lady who was in a wheelchair. And at that point, it was as if the Holy Spirit had just taken over. It just took over. I don't know how to describe it. I came to this lady. I couldn't hear what she was saying. And she was yelling at me, but the din of worship mixed with people weeping, people crying. The guy had just got his eyesight, the two lines before that. The whole place had come under this glory of God, a measure of the glory. Now, no man can see his glory and live. So if you fully see his glory, you will die. But there's measures, and I don't understand it all. I've been in services where nobody's preaching anymore because God showed up. There's such an outpouring of his power that people, some of them might look even drunk. And you say, well, that's not even biblical. Right, go read Acts 2. We have services so oftentimes that are, you know, just put together and just cute. We don't need cute services. Don't get homosexuals delivered. Oh, did I just step on something? Let me step a little more. Cute services don't get people delivered. You can't teach demons. It's a power encounter. The Apostle Paul said, it's not the eloquence of man or the wisdom of man, but the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. That's what our faith is to be in. And we try to say things nice and eloquent, and I probably won't use the word pie hole on the next service. Just doesn't sound right. Want to be gracious? But without God's power, I mean, seriously, what are we doing? Measure of the glory comes. And there needs to be order and all of that. And there is a divine chaos. Let me say, you can have so much order that God is not even in your service. I got like four rights. It is true. And leadership can usher in God's power and presence or can shut him down. And I've seen that too. Praying for people, moving along, get to the lady with the wheelchair. Honestly, I wasn't sure whether I was... It was like an autopilot. I don't know how to describe that. It wasn't out of control, but it wasn't like there was a conscious, logical reason that was taking place. It was in the Spirit. It was the flow of the Spirit of God. That's how I would define it. He said, well, I've never experienced that. Well, stick around. Got to the lady in the wheelchair. She's saying,
you're going to pray for me. And I can't hear, so I ask her again, what? And she says, the last time you came and you prayed.
So I was there 3 years ago. I don't know what she's saying, but she's very like, I can see faith. The Apostle Paul, I saw that they had faith to be healed. I can see that. And what comes out of my mouth is, do you want to walk? I was partially like irritated. I had more people to pray for. I mean, I don't know. That's what happened.
You want to walk? She said, I want to walk. And the next thing that happened is I yanked her out of her wheelchair. Now, I'm going to just tell you, don't do that. Don't go punching people like Smith Wigglesworth. I grabbed her by the wrist. I said, walk. I pulled her up and her shriveled leg straightened out. And she begins to walk, screaming and crying. And the place is berserk. There was a pastor right there. I said, work with her. And I just kept praying for people. And she got out of her wheelchair, man. Two people got out of wheelchairs. How is that? It's the glory of the Lord. I have to say, it's connected to prayer and fasting. We've been praying 10, 12 hours a day here. We're going to move into the close of that time on February 8th, but we're going to keep Friday night for sure. And there's some other times we're going to keep. We're going to continue to grow in prayer. We'll let you know the schedule as we get closer here this week. The glory of God. Wow. Be an encourager is the second thing I want to say to you. Be an encourager. Quit being on the devil's wrecking crew and start being on God's building crew. The only way the devil can speak is by using your mouth. Quit renting space to the ugly one. Quit agreeing with him. Some of you stand before the mirror agreeing with how ugly you are, how big your nose is, how you have a unibrow and you need to get that fixed, or, man, I just need to get lashes. I don't have those thoughts, but you feel like that double chin. Do you take pictures all the time when you're like this? Go ahead. Let me just give you a little tip. Here's a little photo tip. If you're concerned about your double chin, when they're taking a picture of you, I'll do it sideways. This is just for all of you that really are paying attention. Push your neck forward. But you have to do it so it's parallel. And then you remove this. See? Okay, that's a little help for some of you with... Well, let's move on. Be an encourager with your actions. How encouraging are you? Couldn't get my car started. They were in the deep freeze. And the angel from across the street shows up. Hey, saw some hoods up. Figured you needed some help. Sting. I'm like, hey, awesome. Instantly help. Boom, boom, boom. All my cars are running. Come on, I got encouraged by my neighbor. How encouraging are you to people? What is coming? What are the words flowing out of your mouth? Come on, look at somebody's face. You look good today. Don't if you're a man and somebody else's wife, don't do that. Say, tell your wife. Tell her. All right. Pastor Timothy, your hair looks glorious. The sheen coming off of Minister Toby's skull is fantastic. It's just the glory. It's like glory shooting off of the top of your head. Fantastic. Come on, tell somebody something nice. Go ahead, tell them. You're like, if you have to wait a long time to think of something, man, come on, encourage people with your words. Encourage people with your actions. When's the last time you did some random act of kindness? Encourage people. In verse 5 and 6, there's this double then. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Literally, when we step into the encouragement of God, I'm going to say it that way, because in context, it's really strength and encouragement that comes from the throne. Through people, say to them, the Lord's going to save you. Through us and through his word, it releases miracles. When faith is released, miracles happen. When you speak a word of encouragement and someone receives that and faith is released, and miracles begin to happen. Did you catch what I just said? When you release a word of encouragement, when you release the word and it encourages people, faith is birthed, then miracles happen. And that's what you begin to see. Then it says it twice. I'm going to encourage my wife. I'm going to encourage my children. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage my staff.
I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. When Ziklag was burned, he just got a hold of the word and be like, man, my wives are gone. My children are gone in Ziklag and at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel? Anyway, it's in the Bible. He starts encouraging himself. You have to know how to do that. When my daughter was wheeled in, she was brand new. They had to intubate her. She had heart failure. I'm in the neonatal intensive care unit. I'm the only one that's there. Karen is back on another island in Hawaii, and they're putting her back together. I'm there. I don't have any brothers in Christ not with me yet. They're praying afar. I'm the only one in the neonatal intensive care unit. I'm in a small little waiting room. And I walk in and I'm like, I'm heavy hearted. I wasn't full of faith. I'm like, oh God, my daughter, God. Oh my God, my daughter. And I look up and like T.D. Jakes comes on the TV. And he preaches about how you've been chosen from John 15. And he's just walking back and forth with one verse, just beating the fool out of the devil. You've been chosen. I've chosen you to bear forth fruit. You've been chosen. Isn't it great to be chosen? I love being chosen for the team. I love being chosen for credit cards. It's great. I don't use them all, but I love being. And he just goes on and on and on, walking around, just preaching. I'm chosen, chosen, chosen. I ended up standing up by myself in this small room. I'm like, man, I'm chosen, baby. My daughter's coming out. And I came out of that room full of faith. And there she is, appeared at the other end of the hallway. And God did miracles. And she's married today. She's part of the Johnson clan. If you're a Johnson, say amen. Praise God. And she's now in ministry in Maui. And she's the director of marketing for the King's Cathedral and Chapels. And I didn't have anything to do with it except for the fact she wouldn't have made it unless we rose in faith. Come on, you can do it. Say you can do it. You encourage people, then miracles are released. Randy Hufford is a close friend of ours, and he's going through a trial. His wife is quite sick. May God heal her. Every time I showed up in church, from the time I first walked in that place, he would get in my face. He was just so odd. He's like, you're like Caleb. He like, you know, people that just kind of break that barrier of you're too close. He'd be right there and he'd say, you're like Caleb. You're a different spirit. I'm like, okay. And you know, he kept doing it. You know what? I started believing him. And I started saying the same thing. Man, I got a different spirit. Give me my mountain. Being an encourager releases God's power. The third word I have for you is we can live holy. We can live holy. Say that. We can live holy. And a highway will be there. It'll be called a highway of holiness. It'll be for those who walk on that way. The unclean is fantastic, that word. You would just think, well, it's those unclean, but it really isn't. It's singular. It really means that you don't have to be unclean. It means that you can be redeemed. It's a beautiful word. It's a picture that no matter how, where you come from, whatever level of education you have or don't have, you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth or no spoon. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can be a simpleton. Anybody else besides me, when you came to the church, you came into the kingdom, you were simple. I was broken. They told me I had brain damage. I didn't believe that until about 10 years ago. You show up and you receive what God has. God will give you brains. God will heal you. God will restore you, and he'll put you on a highway. I've been on the highway. I'm not going to get off. There's a highway of holiness. You know, there's got to be a shift. There has to be a paradigm shift in your life on sin. You know what's really awesome? To live pure and holy before God. I regularly checking myself. Am I convicted of anything? No, and then if I miss anything, Pastor Karen will remind me and I'll repent. That's a joke, kind of. The Holy Spirit will speak to you. You stay on the highway. You can walk in holiness because he died for you, rose again from the grave for you, because the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. You can resist sin. You can resist the enemy. You can live right. You don't have to be in bondage. I'm preaching way better than your amening in King's 9 a.m. service that's almost concluded. You can make it. You can live holy. will not be foolish, but you'll have God's wisdom. It talks about that. Fools aren't going to be there. No fool will be there. You know what a fool is? Someone who doesn't receive Jesus. That's a fool. Doesn't matter what kind of wisdom, worldly wisdom they have. A fool is someone who doesn't live for Christ, biblically speaking. Number two, they'll not be devoured by the devil. Verse 9, no lion. That's a picture of 1 Peter. No lion will be there. No ravenous beast will be there. But only the redeemed will walk there. Holiness is important. Purity is important. Holiness matters. I said holiness matters. And when you walk in holiness, and God's sanctification is a process, you know, I mean, you start out and like, he tells you to get rid of certain things and he strengthens you. But as you move along, he speaks to you. I mean, for real, I'm on my trip. I'm in my room. I have certain habits and things that I do that are, there's nothing wrong with them. They're not ungodly. And the Lord should, they're not ungodly. They're good. Certain things, entertainment or whatever, not necessarily bad. You make it a god, it's bad. So I get back into my room and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to, and the Lord's like, no, you're not. You're going into prayer. Go into prayer. I got something for you. I'm like, ooh. I could have dismissed that. So I go back into prayer, and then eyes start opening the next service. Miracles start being released. Do you think the two are related? Oh, yes. They are absolutely related. Some of you keep doing things because that's what we do. Yeah, no, that's my habit. In fact, the things that I really enjoy, one of the things I really enjoy doing is working out. I haven't even been able to do that, and that's not coming anytime soon. And get to the gym. That's over. I'm going to do 1,000 push-ups while I'm in Israel. Anyway, we'll have great joy. We'll have great joy. Let me bring this to a conclusion. There's so much more, really. But you'll have great joy when you live for God. The power of new community. I want you to say that. The power of the new community. The new community, this is, you can see that there's a group of people. There's a desert. They move into a place of flowing pools and the blessing, right? And you see they're related. They encourage each other, and it's this highway of holiness, and they're on the highway together. It's a picture of community. It's a picture of the redeemed. It's a picture, for me, clearly, of the church. Let me define the local church. I'm going to move quickly. Defining the local church, it's a covenant community of faith in a given locale. Now, there's a local church and a church universal. So the church is, of course, every denomination, anyone that's preaching Jesus Christ crucified and doesn't destroy the Godhead. Outside of that, it's a Christian cult. You destroy the Godhead, you're out. Outpouring of the Spirit, there's all kinds of different theological understandings, and we don't split over those things. Destroy the Godhead, that's a problem. Jesus is God. He's not the brother of Satan. You don't get celestial sex partners on another planet. Can you say amen? It's not in Scripture. All right, it's not in Scripture. Ecclesia is the word that is used. It's the gathered assembly of God. In fact, that's where the assemblies of God got that. The ecclesia, called out ones. It's a political term. That's what the church is, called out ones. But the idea is the way that that legislative body, the ecclesia, would vote in Roman culture, understand, follow the bouncing ball, ecclesia, Jesus uses, and my church or ecclesia, the gates of hell will not prevail. The church, ecclesia, it's a legislative body that would be called out. And when they would vote, that is the legislation that would be brought. They understand what he's saying, that we've got power, we've got authority. And the purpose of the church is really fourfold. I'm moving quickly now. And you can make some extra notes. It's to make disciples. That comes from Matthew chapter 28. To disciple all nations, that people would be perfect in Christ, Colossians 1. We have an incredible opportunity to be this new community. We're not just gathering on a Sunday morning to just, hoorah, you know. No, we're gathering to transform lives, to make disciples, to see people grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they wouldn't be broken anymore. They wouldn't be addicted anymore. They would walk in a highway of holiness. Their marriages would be blessed. Their families would be blessed. Their finances blessed. Everything they do would be blessed. God has blessed it. Come on, life and life to the full. You need to be taught how to have that. We need that Hammond right now. Ha ha! Present everyone perfect in Christ, Colossians 1, 28. To this end, verse 29, I labor, says the Apostle Paul to the church of Colossae. He labored and strived. Somebody said, you guys work too hard. What? Seriously, we need to reach the lost and make disciples. Yes, we work hard, yes. Are you having another service? Are you doing another thing? Yes, yes. With a burden that comes from heaven to see lives transformed. I know what it is to be broken. I know what it is to be addicted. I know what it is to be pushed down and crushed. And I know what it is to be free. And I will tell you, I far prefer freedom in Christ. I ain't ever going back to that hellhole. And I'm gonna bring as many people out along with this amazing team of leaders. Gonna bring as many people out to see them perfected in Christ, to see them set free, to see them walking on a highway of holiness, in purity, righteousness, and truth. We're gonna disciple nations from this place. Nations. Dr. John Bosman lifted into a prophetic word from him yesterday when this was just a field. We're standing in some grass. And he says, don't forget it's about the nations. This is a house of nations. Now we're in it. 2015 back then. Ephesians 2 and 19. Oh my, that in fact the whole thing, Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. Oh, so powerful. Church, we're the church. Purpose of the church, make disciples. Purpose of the church is to declare the praises of God. The manifold wisdom of God is made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm. You're in a spiritual war. Listen, the reason that we haven't got, you couldn't even make up the kind of problems and trials we have. I thought it'd be a great celebration last Sunday. We're in our upstairs. Well, we're not. You know why? Because Motorola, there was a devil in some factory in Motorola in the lower 48. And they gave us the wrong filters and frequency in our bidirectional amplification system that we had to have. We actually have to remove it, send it back down to the lower 48, wait for them to fix it. In the name of Jesus, give them the fear of the Lord God. It would come right back. You can't make that up. And the installers are like, that's never happened, you know? Like, wow. To be kingdom of priests, to serve God on the earth. Final point, closing now. The life of the church, this new community, is the life of the church. And it's in groups and services. Now, I said groups. Groups include life groups. You ready for this? 92 life groups. You're not as happy as I am. 92 life groups. We're almost to 100. We hit 100. Oh, 94. We've jumped by two. 94 life groups. So how many is that? Six more? Six more, and we hit 100. And we're just going to like put it on the screen and shout and celebrate, and we're going to make a new goal, but we're going to hit our goal of 100 life groups. And I'm so encouraged by that, because that's how the best way to be discipled is in a life group. Some of you haven't been to the Discover track. Please do it. Do it. Find out about the church. Get plugged in. Find out how things happen. Some incredible gifts and talents here. Some of you can sing. Some of you can play instruments. Some of you have an incredible ability to teach, a gift of hospitality. But you're sitting on it. Don't. God gave you that gift. Now, use it. If you don't use it, you could lose it. No, really, live parable of the talents. Our groups, life groups and teams, and our services are how we're fulfilling the mandate to be this new community. And I'm super encouraged that it's happening.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.